Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, January the 6th, day number 6 of 2015. And today we're going to remember one of the great traditions of growing up Cuban, and that is the tradition of Los Reyes Magos, which is the three wise men. And in the Cuban tradition, in the Cuban Christmas tradition, we used to get our gifts on January the 6th, or this morning in January rather than December 25th. And today, to remember that wonderful tradition, we've invited two of our wonderful friends, Tercy Bendyberg and Amarilis Rassler. Now, Tercy, of course, is a storyteller. Amarilis is the author now of two books. We're going to look back at this great tradition, the great tradition of Los Reyes Magos, something that we grew up with as kids. And we kept it as we came to the United States. It was a little bit more difficult, I think, once we got up here because of conflicts and school and all of that. But nevertheless, we still kept it in our hearts. And that's something that we're going to share with you today, the great tradition of Los Reyes Magos. Let me tell you about our friends at Audible.com. Audible.com, of course, is your source for audiobooks. We have a link to their website on the show information. Go down there and click and navigate through audible.com. I have a feeling you're going to find a book or an audiobook that you're going to like. Maybe there's a book there by a certain lady named Amarilis. Maybe you can run into that book, and if you do, why don't you get yourself a copy? She's a great author. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, where it's actually very cold. It's 31 this morning. It's supposed to drop to 19. So let me say hello to a lady who's probably in a much warmer climate, and that's Amarilis. How are you, Amarilis?
Hi, Silvio. Good morning. It's 58 here, sunny and bright, and everybody's waiting to see who's going to get the cross in Tarpon Springs near us. A young man would go into the water and get the cross. There's the Greek Epiphany tradition there, so we're waiting for that.
Oh, wow. And let me say hello to Tercy, who I know because she told me off the air that it's pretty cold in Georgia.
It is cold. It's 46 degrees, but it feels even colder. We're going to be in the teens tonight.
Right, right. But the same here. I think the whole country is being hit by this cold wave. I mean, up in Chicago, it's minus zero, very, very cold up there. So I guess we can say that Los Reyes Magos don't care about the weather. They come no matter what the weather is, right, ladies?
Yes.
Well, They left me a note complaining.
Oh, they did. Okay. Well, we'll hear about that.
Yeah, they
second.
Came by. I'll tell you in a little bit. But they did come
yeah.
back and reminded
oh, I'm anxious.
Me about some stuff.
Well, when they come to Texas, you know, they wear boots and hats. But that's another. But that's another story. But let's do this. I know we've had you on the show many times, but I always think there's a new listener out there who doesn't know you. So let me give each of you ladies an opportunity to introduce yourselves. Now, I will say up front, something common to the three of us is that we came here with our parents in the 1960s, although I know Amarilis came as a Pedro Pan, but eventually was able to join her parents. So we came here in the 60s, we left Cuba, of course, because of the communist situation there. So that's kind of a common to the three of us. But let's get Tercy. Why don't you tell us about yourself and what you do?
I tell stories for a living. I've been doing it professionally since 1992, and I do folk tales and legends, pre-K through adults, womb to tomb, and I tell personal and family stories
okay.
as well, mostly immigration stories or stories of exiles, leaving home,
right.
finding home.
Yeah, I think there's a reason for that, I bet. You relate to those,
why.
I bet. I wonder why,
I wonder why.
Now, Amarilis, you've become a wonderful author. In fact, you've got two books now, so tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm very involved with writers and writers' groups here in my area. It's been a lot of fun. 7 years ago, I decided I wanted to write and leave a book for my mother and my children, and it turned out to be a very good way of telling my story, Cuban-American Dancing on the Hyphen. And then I have other stories of life experiences and a real desire to share about that and touch base with the supernatural that I'm interested in with angels. And also, I wrote this second book, The Chairs.
Right, and you were so nice. You sent me a copy that I read over the holidays. It's an absolutely wonderful book. Like your first book, I have to say, both of your books are very warm and very much from the heart. And that's why I think that's why people like your books, because they feel they get to know you, if you will, when they read your books. Now, here's what we're going to do. Each one of you is going to do a presentation about Los Reyes Magos. Before we do that, though, I want just a quick story from your childhood or even from today about Los Reyes Magos. So, Tercy, tell us your Reyes Magos story.
Well, I grew up with the Reyes Magos, but then when we ended up in Decatur, Georgia, we adopted the tradition of Santa coming on the 25th, and that was wonderful. But when my children were born, our children were born, I really wanted them to have that tradition in their lives. So although most of the gifts came from from Santa Claus, the wise man always left something for the boys, and the boys always left something for the wise man. Usually there was a check for a shelter, a homeless shelter or something similar that they would take and deliver for us. And last night, because I have a great nephew and a great niece, and there's a tiny little also great nephew in Florida, in the Bindenburg side of the family, I wrote him a letter for them. And I left hay, and I left water, and I left 3 cups of Cuban coffee, and I left some Three Kings bread. I put a picture of it on my Facebook wall. And, you know, I left the letter, and lo and behold, this morning they left gifts. They left some gifts for Cody. They left some gifts for Sam and for Ruby. And they also reminded me again, they've been doing it for years, that the roads tend to be slippery, that the coffee, unless they get it here, is very weak. And that there's a guy that has reindeers that fly. They don't have any problem with the roads. But I'm going to ignore their little complaint because I think they do like to stop by wherever I live. And that's my story.
Well, that's a wonderful story. I think that Santa Claus, the three wise men always did like Cuban coffee. That much I can confirm from personal experience. So, Amarilis, what's your Reyes Magos memory or experience?
Well, I always remember Cuba and under the bed, all the presents and the little letter we wrote and put on our shoes would be gone. I was always fascinated with the wise men, the three kings. So this year, I always pick a theme at Christmas time to study, and I study about the wise men. And was really felt warm towards them because they seem to have knowledge and intimacy with the spiritual and with God that it just fascinates me. So we do have a banner that when we moved in our home many years ago, my daughter and I as a little girl made, and we still have it. It's the first thing that goes up at Christmas, and I pin it to the mantle, and it's the last thing that gets put down and put away. And that says, and wise men still seek him. So that's a tradition here. When my son used to live in Alaska, he before he would come for Christmas, he would say, is the banner up? So that's a tradition in our home.
Yeah. Aww. You know, one that is great. You know, one thing, ladies, that I've always enjoyed about Los Reyes Magos is that it made the Christmas a lot longer, if you know what I mean. Because, the Christmas in the United States, for most people, I'm not going to say for everybody, but it kind of ends on a few days after the 25th, and even though people still leave their trees up and all of that for a while, the tradition of January the 6th, or Reyes Magos, just made it a little bit longer. The other thing, too, that I've always liked about Los Reyes Magos is that it makes the story more religious, because as much as we love Santa Claus, and he's a wonderful personality, and everybody loves him, he's really a secular figure. But Los Reyes Magos is in the story, in the book,
right,
in the Bible. So I think that's the other reason. I think when you practice or when you do the or you participate in the practice of Los Reyes Magos, you are participating in the story in the Bible, because they did come and see the baby Jesus. So that's another thing I like about it, the fact that it makes it a more religious holiday versus the more secular Santa Claus story. So that's one thing that I've always loved about it. But here's what we're going to do. Each one of you ladies is going to do a little performance for us. And we love your performances.
Performance of one. Well, I've got Lucy and Maggie looking at me here.
All right. Well, you tell them to applaud. Well, they can bark if they're happy. They can bark if they're happy with you. I'll tell you what. Let's go with Tercy first. You're going to tell us a story. So go right ahead.
Okay, this is a story that I heard in communist Cuba, and I heard it from a teacher that had studied in Russia, and it's called Babushka and the Three Kings. Babushka did not like children. She didn't. She said that kids had sticky fingers and dusty feet, and that wherever children went, dust followed. She was also very, very frugal, and she only went to town to buy a few things, and when she did, if a little child was with his mother or her mother, and Babushka looked at the child would become afraid because those beady little eyes could just stare at him or at her. Babushka also had something in her life that was very important. She was very clean. She loved to clean her house. She cleaned from morning till night. One night, she was busy cleaning when there was a knock at the door. Who could it be at this time of night, she said. And so she went to open the door, and there in front of her were three magnificent men. They wore crowns. They had robes of beautiful colors, and behind them there was a caravan. There were people with tambourines, and they were singing and dancing, and even camels. She had never seen camels, especially in her part of the world. And then they said, Babushka, we're on our way to see the child. The Christ child, come with us. He's a holy child. Holy child, she said. There's not such a thing. We're following the star. And they pointed up, and she saw, suddenly looking up, the most beautiful star right above her cottage. She said, I don't have time. I've got to clean. I just cannot do this. I'm not ready. I don't really talk to people. Go, go, go. And she shut the door on their faces. Babushka couldn't get what she had seen out of her mind, and she put away her broom, and she sat for a minute and fell asleep. And then she had a dream. Babushka dreamt that she had died, and at her funeral, the only ones that came were her broom, her dustpan, and cleaning, water and soap. There wasn't a soul there, and she was saying, I should have gone with them. I hope it's not too late. I hope it's not too late. And that is how she woke up, saying those words. I hope it's not too late. She ran to the door, and they were gone. And the star was no longer over the cottage. I waited too long. It is too late. I'm old, and I'm bitter, and I'm always angry to children. I'm going to change my ways. And Babushka started to change her ways. And she also had a secret hope in her heart. She hoped that maybe they would return for her the following year and invite her again to join them. And so at night, instead of cleaning her house, she started to make toys, little tiny wooden toys and cloth toys. Now, her eyesight wasn't good. She was old. And sometimes the paint was runny. And sometimes she would forget to put an eye on one of the little animals that she made. But, you know, they were made with so much love. and every time she finished a toy, she took it and put it in a sack and always said, "For the Holy Child." Whenever she went to market now and a child saw her and she looked at the children, her eyes softened and the children smiled back at her. A whole year went by, and now she had a sack full of toys for the children, for the Holy Child, for anyone that she would see on the way. She waited and waited and waited, and they didn't come. No one came. And then she thought, you know what? I'll go. I'll go in the name of the Holy Child. And so she took the sack and she bundled up because it was so cold, and she went from home to home in her village. And the villagers were so amazed to see her, but so happy. And they would say, "Come, follow us. Our children are asleep. You know, look at them, Babushka. When they're asleep sometimes, they look like angels." And Babushka always nodded. And taking a gift out of her sack, she placed it by the pillow where the child or the children were sleeping. And those gifts that were so imperfect were suddenly transformed into the most exquisite gifts, for each had been made with love, and things that are made with love are never, ever wasted. And as she left each gift in the pillow of the sleeping child, Babushka said, "For the Holy Child." For she knew that night that every child, every single little child is a holy child. Babushka and the Three Kings.
Oh, wow. Now, tell me, you said you heard it in Cuba?
I heard it in Cuba from a teacher. And then I have found that in books of folk tales.
Wow, wow. Now, the many Russians, I may be wrong on this, but maybe Russians are, I know Eastern Europeans, many of them, of course, are Catholic. Others are Greek Orthodox, which is very similar to the Catholic Church. Just slight, you know, I think the structure is different, but very similar Mass and so on. And I'm wondering if the Greek Orthodox celebrate the same way that the, you know, the Spanish Catholics, like we grew up, the 6th of January. I bet they do.
I think they do. And I also, I had a child in a workshop. That was her family were Coptic Christians, and she was telling me that they celebrated on the 7th, which was very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that the year that I was teaching that workshop, there had been a massacre of Christians meeting that night in her part of the world, and she was very, very saddened. But I never followed up on that, so I'm gonna research and find out.
Yeah. Now, it's just interesting because Romanians, I know Romanians, many Romanians are Greek Orthodox. I think that's the right term. I hope I'm using it correctly. Greek Orthodox. I think that's the right.
Or Eastern.
Eastern, yeah. That's what it is, Eastern. I said Greek, but I think it's more Eastern. But anyway, fascinating story. I guess the idea of redemption, right? The idea of coming, you know, of finding finding, you know, religion through that story. That's wonderful. Now, Amarilis, you're going to share with us, I believe, a poem. So is this from one of your books or something that you wrote for us?
No, this is something I wrote recently after studying about the Three Kings. And it tries to put you right in the place where they were coming and to adore him. But I did want to also share that I looked up the three gifts that they brought, and I thought it was interesting that they brought gold, which symbolized royalty, and it was the most precious metal of that day. And it was also the three kings were used by God, because that money, that gold, probably helped support the Holy Family when they escape into Egypt. So that was interesting how God used the three kings in so many ways. And frankincense is a resin used ceremonially. And at that time, it was the only incense permitted on the altar of the tabernacle, and then the temple made it for Jerusalem, in Jerusalem. And then the last one, yes, I thought that was very interesting. The last one was a foreshadowing gift, myrrh, It's a gum-like substance to embalm the dead, and sometimes a drink given for pain, as it was given at the cross. So it was a foreshadowing of the Lord's suffering and death on the cross. So the three gifts are very symbolic, very precious gifts. So here's the little poem. Come, three kings. Come, three kings, your gifts to bring. Worship now on bended knee. See the light upon his face that from far away you traced, guided by his shining star. Camels bring you now to see God in flesh for you and me. Come, three kings, thy presence lay, bowing heads, do homage pay, for the child you gaze upon is God's one begotten son. So that's my little poem, which puts
I
you there.
I love it.
Thank you, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful, Marilis. Isn't it amazing, ladies, how holidays inspire people to write things? I was like your inspiration with that poem, your inspiration with your story. Tercy, you know, all the wonderful Christmas carols in Spanish and English that we have sung over the years. Isn't it amazing how a tradition, you know, a holiday inspires people? What do you think about that? Why do you think that is, Tercy? Why does a holiday like Christmas inspire people to write wonderful things like the one you read to us or the one you shared with us?
Well, I think one of my favorite songs is Glen Campbell's Christmas is for Children.
Hmm.
And it ends up with, aren't we all children on Christmas Day? And I think we all long for the innocence and for the hope and for the pure faith that children have, and the unclouded way that they look at God and at goodness. I think that's what I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's right, because children have this unconditional belief, you know, the story of Santa Claus is the best example. I remember when my sons were little, how they used to, their eyes would just open up, you know, when you know, they would hear about Santa Claus coming, and they would believe the story unconditionally, which is wonderful for children. What inspires people, in your opinion, Amarilis, at a time like this?
I think that there's a softer heart and a concentration.
Yeah.
From our history and our culture of giving. And of course, I think we reflect the love of God that he came to give. He gave himself, and I think that's still here in that season. There's a concentration of that, knowing what he came to do. And so I think there's a focus on giving and thinking of others and putting others first.
Right, it's fascinating. Let me ask you ladies a quick question here as we wrap up. One of my biggest frustrations, you know, growing up here, almost 50 years in the United States, is the fact that I would hate to see us lose the tradition of Los Reyes Magos. It's a very difficult tradition to pass on because, you know, your sons grow up in a different country, they grow up, and obviously it doesn't mean to them as much as it did to us. So how do you think we should keep this tradition, Tercy?
Well, I think, you know, it is our tradition, but it's also the tradition of our mother country, Spain, and it's also the tradition in many countries, especially Mexico. Mexico has a lot of things, a lot of ways of celebrating this holiday. And I think new immigrants are continuing to celebrate this in different ways. And I think I can see it. I can see it not becoming mainstream necessarily, but becoming another tradition that is mentioned in our melting pot.
Right.
And as far as personal and family, I think what I did, you know, this year with the new babies, they're not getting a lot of gifts. They're just getting something. They got their gifts first from Santa. But I know that especially Ruby Bell, who's four, will be very happy to see the pictures and everything if she hasn't seen them already, this morning that I put them on Facebook so she could see. She doesn't live in Atlanta, of the visit of the king. So I think if we can remain children inside, and maybe we can do it for that generation, and maybe the others will follow. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great thought. Yeah, that's a great thought. How about you, Amarilis? How do you think we should pass it on? Because it is a beautiful tradition.
The same way you're passing on your cultural background too, Sylvia, with writing and with telling your children. I think that when we leave something like that, like I wrote the blog for the three wise men, and I will read that to my grandchildren and share it with them and ask them questions about it. And I think that when we do that, we're keeping the tradition alive. When we keep speaking, when we keep putting banners on the mantle and all, it's a good thing to do, a golden thing to do, to leave with them by telling and writing and just sharing. And I love the way Tercy has in her Facebook how she left food for the camels, and oh, it was wonderful. She's really made the tradition alive. So it's
right.
Wonderful.
She has.
Feel like a little kid last night.
Well, I think that's what
it's about. I was too excited to go back to sleep.
Good,
yeah, but that's
you.
What it's—that's what it's about. You know, I think this tradition does take us back to our childhood. It makes us remember our childhood and feel like kids again. Because I will say one last thought here. One of the things I've noticed, just in my being here in the United States, is how more and more secular Christmas has become. Since we first came here, I mean, back in the 60s and 70s, it seems like it was more a holiday about, you know, the birth of Jesus. Now it's become, I think, a much more cosmopolitan holiday, if I can put it that way. You've got Christmas music being played. I mean, my gosh, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, we have two radio stations in Dallas that are blasting Christmas music 24/7. And so I think that we've lost a little bit the story of Christmas. And one of the beauties of the three wise men, or Reyes Magos, is that it does, you know, the story does have Jesus in it, because they go and take their gifts to the baby Jesus. So that's one of the reasons why I like the story, and one of the reasons that I try to communicate it to our sons, even though sometimes you feel like you're swimming upstream because there's so many other challenges that going on in our lives. But I do want to thank both of you ladies so much for joining us today, Tercy and Amarilis. I want to wish you the very best with your projects, with your storytelling, with your books, and let's do this again. And I'm thinking Mother's Day would be a good time for us to get together and celebrate once again, growing up Cuban and what Mother's Day reminded many of us. So make an appointment with me on around Mother's Day, and we're going to do another one, ladies.
Thank you, okay. Sylvia, for all
thank
you do.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today. And both of you have a wonderful, and I hope Los Reyes Magos brought you your favorite gift.
Thank you, Silvio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Bye-bye, Tercy. Bye-bye, Amarilis. Both of you ladies, wonderful ladies, great friends of our show, and always call on them when we look back at our growing up Cuban memories. As I say, we have a date with these two ladies already on the calendar for a Mother's Day show, and we'll remember Mother's Day Cuban American style. Everybody have a wonderful day. If you didn't get gifts today, well, maybe next year you need to write a letter to the three wise men. You know, they do like to get letters. So maybe if you write a letter next year, you'll get a gift. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.